second scripture reading will come from 2 Kings 2, 1 and 2. 2 Kings 2, 1 and 2. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel.
Good evening. As always, pleasure to be with you. It's been such a great day, such a beautiful day, and such a great period of worship and singing and prayer. And it's just so joyous to be here and to be around such wonderful people. It's really a blessing for us. Tonight, I wanted to try to think about situations where maybe somebody's had big shoes to fill. It's something that we see come up from time to time. Maybe it's like the coach of a team, or you're replacing a teacher or a principal who was very popular, or an entertainer. Sometimes there are certain like roles, characters, where somebody played that character really well, so taking over and trying to play that role can be a little daunting, because you're going to face comparisons, and the previous person was very popular, so it can be a little difficult. But there's also like kind of a special opportunity that comes along in those situations. Because the reason there's a weight, the reason that there's pressure, is because there's been something good that has been built. There's a legacy. There's something important, and having an opportunity to pick that up and to carry it on is really kind of a powerful thing. It's something that we see a lot, like. Sometimes I'll see that there were restaurants, you know, businesses that somebody built up, and then it falls to that person's children to kind of take it and carry it on and keep that person's legacy going. It's really a powerful idea, and it comes up a lot in storytelling. It's the idea that there are works, that there are principles, that there are ideas that are bigger than one person. And somebody needs to pick that up and carry on with it. And there's a phrase, taking up the mantle, which is often used in reference to this. And so I wanted to, tonight, study the story of Elijah and Elisha with that in mind. As we read through the story and thinking about that idea of having something powerful, meaningful, being taken up by someone else. So we'll begin in 2 Kings chapter 2, and we're going to begin with Elisha and a demonstration of his devotion, of his sincerity, and I think of his faithfulness and his caring towards Elijah. In chapter 2, verse 1, "When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel.' But Elisha said, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, 'Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?' 'Yes, I know,' Elisha replied, 'so be quiet.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho.' And he replied, 'As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you.' So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, 'Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?' 'Yes, I know,' he replied, 'so be quiet.' Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. So here we see several times the prophet Elijah telling Elisha, whose mentor was Elijah, "You know, I'm going on, you stay here." And each time Elisha replies, "I'm not going to leave your side. As the Lord lives and as you live, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to depart as long as you're alive." He was dedicated, he was committed, and he wanted to be with his mentor as long as he possibly could. And the whole time there were people coming to him saying, "You know that your master is going to be taken from you today, right?" It was known, it was apparent. And sometimes it's hard to kind of read between the lines, like with the tone sometimes, but it seems like Elisha was getting kind of annoyed. And maybe he was already kind of carrying some of that weight already. Because he's saying, "Yes, you know, I know, be quiet." He was already feeling the gravity of what was about to happen. It was almost like he was already mourning the loss of Elijah. So that it was evident, and that this was going to be it. And he was, I think, bearing some of that emotion. Then in verse 8, we see a miracle take place. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." And this miracle probably for many of us brings to mind like Moses parting the waters, and Elijah takes his cloak, his garment, rolls it up and divides the water. And then they walk through on dry ground. And again, some of these things always bring other things to mind. And maybe they're not connected. Maybe there's not a symbolism there. But Elijah asks Elisha, like, what do you want before I'm going to leave you? And I think of, you know, times where people have been offered something and they choose the right thing. Like choosing wisdom. When you're offered something and saying, like, just give me wisdom. And here, Elisha says, "Give me a double portion." And what that, I believe that's in reference to is, you know, like the firstborn son, the one who was, you know, again, kind of going back to that analogy of, you know, if there's a family business, the oldest child sometimes is kind of seen as the heir apparent who would, it kind of falls to them to take that up. And what Elisha was asking was something that was common to give the oldest child, the oldest son. Like you would get the double portion. It was kind of like Elisha's asking, let me do well and let me truly be your successor. And that's kind of what was foretold, and that was, I think, the expectation of Elisha. But what I think he was asking was, give me the strength, let me be worthy of it. Let me be worthy of taking on your ministry and following after you. Let me truly be the heir of that. It was a large responsibility. And Elijah tells him, you know, basically, if you stay committed, if you stay faithful, if you stay strong, if you are with me till the very end, if you stay and see me taken up, then it will be given to you. Kind of what Elisha had been talking about this whole time. It's interesting that Elijah had sort of been giving outs. You know, I'm going on to the next city, you stay here. Elisha says, "No, I'm not stopping until the end. I'm going to stay with you. And then Elijah tells him here at the end, if you persevere to the end, you will receive that blessing. You will receive the ability, you will receive the blessing to continue on as I have. And then in verse 11, we see that Elijah is taken. As they were walking along and walking together, and just reading that, it kind of, again, it paints, I don't know, sometimes just the wording of something kind of strikes me, just the idea that Elisha knew this was coming and his mentor was leaving, and we can see, I think, that he was already kind of upset. And just that visual of them walking together and knowing that this was it. It is kind of heartbreaking to be with somebody and to know this is it. This is the last time on this earth that we will be together. And suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw all this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. And what a sight that must have been. Chariots of fire, horses of fire. There's a song called Chariots of Fire. It's a very like motivational song. If you're not familiar with it, if you heard it, you would instantly recognize it. It's from a movie called Chariots of Fire. It's about running. I haven't watched it, honestly. Running's not something I'm super into, but I think that it, and as I was looking, because it reminded me of that song in that movie, Chariots of Fire, and it kind of traces its way back indirectly. I think it was from like a line from a poem that was from something else, and then like I think it does trace its references back to Elijah. There was like a hymn that was taken from a poem that was written or something like that. But, you know, we see these chariots of fire and horses of fire that separate Elijah and Elisha. And then Elijah is, of course, taken up in the whirlwind. And in response to this, not only does Elijah cry out, he tears his clothes, which we see often in the Old Testament. That of course, is a symbol of great distress, of grief, of mourning. And of course, we don't do it today. It's not a symbol that we continue, but I think it's very fitting. Like it's a way of expressing such grief that it's just, you kind of pour it out by tearing your clothes. And that's what Elisha does as his mentor is taken away. It's intense mourning and a feeling of loss. In verse 13, we get to what I think is where we can really start to see some applications for ourselves. In picking up the mantle, in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 13, Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. And this picking up the mantle, that's a common phrase that comes from this. Different translations will have older translations. We use the term mantle in the place of cloak. I don't think we use the word mantle today. Like I think of like a mantle place is what I think of. I don't think of a garment, but that's what it's in reference to. And maybe that phrase, I don't think maybe clicks the way a lot of phrases do. Like picking up the mantle, we know what it means, but I don't know that we instantly think of, you know, picking up a garment, the way that is what it means. And that's where that phrase comes from. Picking up where someone left off, especially if it's an important and meaningful task. It's associated with taking up someone's legacy. Just recently, the NFL draft took place, and the first pick was a quarterback who went to the Raiders, and Fernando Mendoza. He wore number 15, and the Raiders had a very well respected quarterback and coach named Tom Flores, who wore 15. And I saw an article where, you know, Tom Flores, the previous player, kind of gave his blessing to this new quarterback to wear that number. We see that quite often in sports. I like sports, so I often think of things that kind of apply in that realm. And you'll see where there was this kind of legacy associated with a number. And a lot of times the younger players would kind of have to get permission, maybe unofficially, to kind of wear that number. Because there's something meaningful behind it. To the team, to the fans, to the player who wore it. And I thought of that when thinking about this, not only because, again, I like sports, but because that it is kind of like this garment that you wear that means something more than just a shirt. And taking it on means taking on the responsibility of what goes along with it. And there's just such this incredible symbolism here with Elisha being so distraught that he tears his clothes, and then he picks up the cloak of Elijah. And it signifies him taking on that ministry. There's something just so poetic about it, that this symbol of like, okay, now I am taking on this ministry and this responsibility. And he begins by conducting the same miracle that Elijah had so recently performed, in taking Elijah's cloak, striking the water, and having it separate so that he could cross through. The cloak that had previously been on Elijah's shoulders was now on the shoulders of Elisha. And another thing that I think we should point out is that work kind of began immediately. And even though he was distraught and had just lost someone special to him, he needed to pick it up immediately and begin right away. And it was recognized by others. Picking up in verse 15. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. "Look," they said, "we, your servants, have 50 able men. Let them go and look for your master. Perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has picked him up and set him down on some mountain or in some valley." "No," Elisha replied, "do not send them." But they persisted until he was too embarrassed to refuse. So he said, "Send them." And they sent 50 men who searched for 3 days but did not find him. When they returned to Elisha, who was staying in Jericho, he said to them, "Didn't I tell you not to go?" And again, I hate to read too much into it, but there's just such like a melancholy in that response, where they come to him and say, maybe he's not gone. Maybe the Spirit took him somewhere else and he's on a mountaintop and maybe he's still there. But Elisha knows. And he says, don't bother looking for him. And then when they eventually persist and they don't find him, he says, didn't I tell you not to go? He knew. He knew that Elijah was gone, and he knew that the ministry was now resting on him. And they recognized it. Verse 15 said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And what would that feel like to feel that weight on you, and to know you have work to do? And Elisha wastes no time in setting about that work. And I want to go back now. Having seen this, I want to go back to 1 Kings chapter 19, back in verse 19, to when Elisha was chosen to follow Elijah. So 1 Kings, different book, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. "So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphath, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what I have done, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. What an incredible, you know, looking back and knowing that he would follow Elijah and would not give up and would not cease and would not leave him. And then as Elijah is taken away, he picks up his coat and uses it as a to perform a miracle and to kind of symbolize this ministry. And if you go back to when they first met, Elijah put his coat on Elisha. And that symbolizes, you know, what would happen. And I'm sure Elisha remembers that. I don't know if he was able to, in that moment, recognize this incredible symmetry and this incredible thought. But it's just such a beautiful thing to see his dedication and his willingness to follow after Elijah. And we see people in Scripture respond differently to the work that's put before them. Moses, you know, when he was first tasked, said, "I'll find somebody else. I'm not the right person. I'm not the right person to do this." Each of us has a ministry that we are to fulfill, a service that we are to do. And I read one commentator who noted, and I don't want to, make meaning where there isn't, but this person noted that Elijah had to pick up the mantle. It wasn't put on him. He was choosing to take that up. And maybe that's significant. Maybe each of us needs to be active in picking up the service that God has for us. Maybe putting before us isn't even the right way to look at it. Maybe we need to be praying for that ministry and asking God to help us see it and to find it, and where there isn't one, to put it in front of us, to have the wisdom to see it and the courage and the strength to follow through and take it. And I believe that's the real application of this lesson for us. Elisha had prepared himself for this work. He was steadfast in staying and would not be turned away from that work. Even though he had opportunities to ask out, he didn't take them. He saw what was before him and he took it on immediately and went straight to work. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, Christ talks about the ministry that people had. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And I really don't think we should gloss over that. This harvest is people, is souls. People who are harassed and helpless. People who need us to cry with them, to comfort them, to teach them, to be examples for them, to show them Christ, to show the joy that we have, the forgiveness that we have, the hope that we have. The idea of a sheep without a shepherd. And I don't mean this word in like a negative way, but it's pathetic. And just like you feel for them. It's just they're lost and they're hopeless. And that's what people in the world are without Jesus. Sheep without a shepherd. And every single one of us right now, figuratively, has a cloak in front of us. we have the work that God has outlined for us. And it's laying before us right now. And each of us will decide whether we will pick up that mantle and fulfill that work and fulfill that ministry or not. And just like Elisha, it might be a little scary. There probably won't be chariots of fire as we pick up our mantle. And we don't read that I'm aware of Elisha's attitude or his thought. We know he was determined, but was he intimidated by that? Or, you know, I don't know, but I do know that he was willing to pick it up. He had the courage to do so. And right now, you know, it's my prayer that all of us will see that work that God has for us and that we will be willing to lovingly pick it up and take it into the world and bear that so that we can be those laborers who go out into the field. There is such a harvest out there. There are so many people who, as Christ said, are harassed and helpless. Sheep without a shepherd. And we need to be going out into that harvest. So I pray that we can. I pray that we take up our mantle and follow Christ. If you have not taken on Christ in baptism, you have that opportunity tonight. If you've not been carrying on the ministry that is before you and you want the prayers of the church, if you need forgiveness or help in any way, we stand ready to help you if you'll come forward as we stand and sing.